Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. Today we're going to spend some time in Joshua. I've been reading the one-year Bible plan, and I've been in Joshua of late. And I'm just so overwhelmed with appreciation of the character that Joshua had. And in some of the chapters that I'm reading, it could become a little almost daunting to pull and extrapolate any truth out of it that we therefore then can apply to us today. In the chapters of the inheritances and the allotments for all the tribes. So I'm just going to take you, let's turn to Joshua, like 14. It's talking about the inheritance and Caleb's requests an inheritance. And then chapter 15, the allotments for Judah. And then it starts getting into like 16, the allotment for Ephraim and Manasseh, and then 17, and then 18, and then it's just going through all those 12 tribes and beginning to show how God is faithful. He kept His word and His covenant, and He is now going to give them their allotted land. Sometimes they got land, sometimes they got livestock. Sometimes it seems like some tribes got more than others. In chapter 13, verse 33, it says, "But to the tribe of Levi, Moses gave no inheritance. The Lord God of Israel is their inheritance, just as He said to them." So some of it may not make sense to us. We're like, well, why did He do that? Why did He seem to show favor here and bestow differently there? And I think the thing that as I'm reading it and looking at commentaries and studying it, just to be able to accurately apply the truth, what I'm realizing is the fruitful land bestowed on His chosen people is similar to the fact that He bestows in our hearts hope and confidence and mercy and gratitude. And so it's not as much even about what they were receiving. It was the idea that He said He would do it, and it came to fruition, that it was fulfilled by Him, that He's a good God. And then it reminds me that it's His doing. We don't have to figure it out. Sometimes I think we work too hard to figure out what God is doing instead of just saying it's the Lord's to do. If you look at Joshua 11:20, "For it was the Lord's doing." He gets to decide. It doesn't have to make sense to us. There are a lot of things in life that you may have already experienced or you will experience. I know I can say it for myself. I have experienced and I'll continue to experience things that don't necessarily make sense to me. It doesn't have to make sense. We aren't due an explanation. But the Lord does give. He does advance. He does it on His own timing. He does it with our heart purpose in mind. And if we live by faith and value Him and we trust His promise to fulfillment, then we should just be happy to follow Him. We should just be happy to follow Him. And so as I'm continuing to read, like I was in chapter 15, that God already has planned our allotments for us. And our portions are assigned to us. And all of the blessings belong to all believers, children of God, because our ultimate inheritance is eternity. So if any of you are in a place where you're just like, I just want to know what God has for me, God has eternity in mind for you. That's what He has. And all He's asking each of us to do is live the best that we can, a life exemplary of Jesus Christ, so that others can see Christ likeness walking among them, and they too may be spurred to draw near and pursue a relationship with God because of maybe just one attribute or trait in us that they see. And we can say, hey, I couldn't do this without my God. I couldn't be patient without my God. I couldn't be faithful without my God. I couldn't be loving without knowing God. I couldn't be gracious without knowing my gracious God. And we just have to remember, now I'm in chapter 16 of Joshua, that our situation and provision in this life, as well as our future inheritance, are appointed by a wise and righteous and holy God. So we should be content with our portion. He knows what's best for us. And all we have now is more than we even deserve. And so unfortunate it is of us as humans to want more than we have, because what we have now is more than we're worth having. And if you keep reading in chapter 17, it talks about how those who took care in the wilderness of the world secured themselves even more comforts in eternity. So God knew that some allotments were maybe easier for others and some were not, but he was almost looking for how people were going to respond to the situation. And so when I look at that and I think, oh my goodness, do I complain in my wildernesses? Or do I still praise and trust him and honor him and glorify him in the wilderness? Because I want him to look down at me and find me faithful despite my circumstance. It's easy to love God when things are great. It's not easy to love God when you are wanting. So I pray, Lord, teach me to love you well despite my situations. And then what I loved about reading this is all these chapters after chapters after chapters is about people getting their portion or their inheritance. And the neat thing about Joshua is that he was content to wait until everyone else got their boundaries and their borders and their answers. He was humble about it. He was content in the unfixed. He didn't have all his answers yet, but he was helping bring to fruition and give accordingly to everyone else as God wanted. But never once did it say along all these chapters that Joshua was like, well, what about me, God? What about me? Have you forgotten me? You know, I'm the one taking the role from Moses. What about me? I'm the one that got to go in. You know, what about me? Never, never. In fact, Joshua waited until the very end. We don't get in the inheritance of Joshua until chapter 19, starting in verse 49 through 51. He allowed everyone else to get what they were due themselves. He preferred the welfare of others over his own private advantage. He was content in the unfixed. And sometimes I think all of us think we could be content when things are fixed, but are we content now in the waiting, in the seeking, in the wanting? Do we really put other people's welfares above our own? Do we love God despite anyway, until something we're wanting and praying about is fulfilled? Do we? Or do we really just keep saying, God, you know, where are you? You haven't shown up. I've been waiting. And so the powerful things that I have gotten from Joshua is be content with what you have now. Like I said, far more than we deserve. He'll enlarge our borders for something else when he sees that we are being faithful in what we have now. And that be content even in the unfixed part of your life. Can you love him well without all the answers? We'll never have all the answers. We don't need all the answers. But can you love him well? Can you follow him well? Can you draw near in the unfixed? And if you're like, golly, no, this is hard. Well, keep reading Joshua. Let's get to Joshua 22, where we're going to sit for a bit, and this is how we'll wrap up today's episode. Let's start with verse 4, Joshua 22:4. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brothers as he promised them. Who wants rest? We all want it. We all crave it. We all need it. So then let's see how we can get that rest that God gives. Let's look at chapter 22, verse 5 in Joshua. Be careful to observe the commandment and the law. Very careful to observe the commandment and the law. So to me, that says read God's word. We have the benefit of the entirety of the Bible. How often do we read it? And then it says, love the Lord your God. So we've got to read his word and love him wholly with everything that we have. And then it says, walk in all his ways. Well, how do we know what ways to walk in? Read his word, love him, walk in the truths. How do we find the truths? We read his word. We seek to find the truths. We seek to apply them. Keep his commandments is the next one. How do we know what commandments to keep? Read his word. We walk in his ways. We obey his truths. Cling to him. I love that. This is still verse 5 of Joshua 22. It says, be very careful to observe the commandments and the law that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. Love the Lord your God. Walk in all his ways. Keep his commandments. Cling to him. So when you're spiraling, when you're desperate, cling to him, which is why that feel wheel is so important. When your emotions try to lead you astray, God's word's going to light your way. You've got to cling back to him, even in the emotional spiral that you may be having. Cling to him and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul. So here's a quick little checklist that we can ask ourselves when we are in an unfixed position, situation, circumstance, but we want rest. Read his word. Love him with all that you have. Walk in his ways. Obey his truths. Cling to him. It's okay. Cry, pray, cling. That means draw near, 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 draw near, and serve him. Serve him even out of the pain. Serve him by speaking to others about him. Serve him by praying. Serve him by, you know, do something neighborly. Do something like serve at your church. Join in with a serve Saturday opportunity or just check in on somebody. But do something. So often when we're serving others, we quit thinking about ourselves. Join in a ministry. Join in a Bible study. Become someone's accountability partner. Those are all acts of service. Pay it forward. Buy somebody's coffee. It doesn't have to be grand, huge, amazing gestures. Write a letter. Send a postcard. Text somebody. Send someone a song you've been listening to. But just thinking about someone else. Speak words of kindness and gratitude over those in your home. Leave little sticky notes. Buy little simple little dollar store things and leave them for coworkers. Just anything. But I love that idea of that Joshua loved God and was content in the unfixed. I want you just to stop and ask yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, what are you trapped in? What is the unfixed that Satan is trapping you with? Release it. Ask God to release you from your discontentment in the unfixed. Tell him that you want to rest, that you're going to strive to rest in the unfixed until you have your defined borders and until you get any type of an enlargement or advancement. You are going to love God well and rest in the portion that you do have, in what he has given you. Satan wants to tempt us to want more, to think, well, if I just had this, maybe my job or my relationship or with my kids or maybe the way I looked or maybe something about my health, if I just had this, then I'd be content. And that is such a lie, because the minute we would arrive or achieve at that, Satan's going to dangle another carrot, a bigger carrot, just farther down the road. We're just going to constantly be chasing at something until we can figure out that it's okay to rest right here, right now in the situation that I do have, in more that I deserve, that it is my promise, because all of us as believers have an inheritance and it's eternity. So there is nothing that we can demand or claim or need to have now that is not worth waiting for. God is a just God. He knows what we need, when we need it, and all we have to do is continually surrender to Him. Just surrender to Him and serve Him sincerely. Let's look at Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served and serve the Lord, for it is evil to serve anything else but God. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the aim that you give us, even though we will never in our humanness be able to meet it fully. But it's an aim. That's all it is. It's just a continual pursuit. And that it's only by you, your word, by prayer, by your Holy Spirit, by the Christ example that He walked this earth to show us. It's just the striving. That's all it is. It's just the pursuit, that we are just in pursuit of becoming more and more and more like the person you want us to be while we are still here on earth. That we learn that the priority is just loving you, serving you sincerely, being faithful. And that we help anyone that we can in our house, outside our house, friends, family, coworkers, just learn to put you first, that things are so much easier, that you offer us rest, that you offer us joy, that you offer us strength, that you offer us peace. If we just eliminate anything that is in the way of us loving you wholly, with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls, may we come to your word. May we read it. May we devour it. May we walk in your ways. May we obey and apply your truths. May we cling to you, and may we serve you. And may we serve and love you well in the unfixed. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you are my best friend. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.